Reformed Church.
You know, you when it's something that you just do and you're not doing because someone's forcing you to do it, you're doing it because, you know what's in it for you. And what I mean by that is that everything the Lord's given you and just sharing in communion with Him in all the things that we have, because it's more than just the fact that we have these things, right? It's that the Lord has these things as well. And we get to, because I sort of liken it to like if you're watching a movie or you're doing something, a lot of people would say, well, I'd prefer to do it with somebody else, not just do that by myself. Or if you're going to go out and do something, I would, rather do it with somebody else or bring family along rather than just go and do it myself. And, that's the way it is with the Lord, is that, it's good to know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that have the same things as us as well. We can't forget that. But at the very least, though, even if nobody else, believes in the Lord, it's like the real point is the fact that we have communion with the Lord, we have fellowship with the Lord, and we understand each other because the Lord has everything that He has, and now we have everything that He has. And it's more than just having the glory of God, but it's like sharing the glory of God with Him and knowing that you're the same as somebody else and knowing that, you take part in the same inheritance, and again, you understand each other because you have the same mind and all of that. You always have that with the Lord. People are so temperamental. When we were away, I was reading the book of Acts, and it's funny how twice in the book of Acts there are people that in one particular account, when Paul gets shipwrecked on this island, the people think that he's like some sinner that's being cursed by God at first, or punished by God at first, because a snake bit him. And then when he wasn't harmed, it says, so then they assumed that he was a god. And it's just funny how temperamental people are, where people's opinion of you, changes so quickly. And this is why, it's not to be a bummer when we talk about how, like, as the church grows, or just in your life in general, that you can't get wrapped up in people's acceptance, because their acceptance is not, it's not stable, and it's not the way the Lord accepts you. When the Lord accepts you, He accepts you out of His love, which is, everlasting for you, and furthermore, because of the work of Jesus that and everything that Jesus has done for you, which is a stable thing, a sure thing, and something that doesn't waver. So when you take, I don't know if the word is necessarily pride, but when you take, I guess so, when you take pride in the acceptance of God, and when you boast in that, and when you sort of wrap your arms around that tightly, and you hold to that, and you take your self-worth from His acceptance of you, you can do that, because you're never at risk of Him not accepting you and then betraying all of that trust. Because the more that you take your fulfillment or your self-worth from someone's acceptance, the more you even take any happiness from someone's acceptance, the more you're going to feel it when that person doesn't accept you. I mean, there are people probably right now that don't like me that I don't even know about, but it doesn't affect me at all because I don't know about it, right? I haven't taken anything at all. I haven't even had the opportunity to take anything from their acceptance, so their rejection therefore means nothing to me either. But a lot of times we don't want to take people's rejection hard, right? But you can't not take someone's rejection hard if you've taken their acceptance hard, if you want to sort of put it that way. When you take your self-worth and you take your happiness and take your fulfillment from somebody's acceptance, then their rejection is going to, betray you that much as well. But with the Lord, that's why, again, as the church grows and stuff too, there are going to be people, a lot of people that aren't going to like the message, and there are people that are going to like the message, but people's acceptance is so temporal. Again, someone could think you're the best thing since sliced bread one day, and then the next day just not even like you. I mean, again, evident from even that passage in Acts where, again, they went from literally looking at Paul on the outside and thinking that he was being punished by God because of some terrible sin that he had done, to then when he was not affected by the venomous snake that he was bitten by, and all of a sudden he's a god now. And that's how people's acceptance is. It's just, it fluctuates so much, and that's why we need to take our fulfillment from the acceptance of God. And I really mean that. Even from your family, people sometimes even say, there's like actually a lot of songs that, because I listen to whatever music, periodically, and I edit the music. You guys know I edit the music. If I download music, I end up editing a lot of it, just to so the lyrics are suit me. But the one lyric that I find is pretty common is that when they're talking about acceptance, it's almost like, I don't care what anyone else says about me. As long as God and my family loves me, then I'm good. But it's really funny, right, how they equate the acceptance that they can take for their fulfillment or identify themselves with the acceptance of God and their family. And, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't accept one another, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't love one another, and I'm not saying we should reject anybody. But as far as you taking and enjoying acceptance, I endeavor to only enjoy the acceptance of God. And then, you know what, when someone accepts me, this is the truth. If someone accepts me and they give me a compliment, or I feel in my mind this sort of this increase in self-worth or something. I feel this thing inside when someone gives me a compliment. In my heart, you know what I say? You know, Lord, I don't trust in the acceptance of men. I thank you, Father, for your acceptance, right? But check this out. Because I do that when someone accepts me, if someone, that person or anyone else, rejects me, I have the same reaction. I'm still on the same train. And I say, Lord, I don't trust in the acceptance of men. You know, I just trust your acceptance. Thank you so much, Father, for your acceptance. Because when you don't trust their acceptance, and when you don't invest yourself in someone's acceptance, then you also simultaneously won't be invested in their rejection. But to the degree that you are invested in their acceptance, you will also be invested in their rejection. Because you are simply, you don't get to choose, you know, like, which opinion of someone you invest yourself in. You simply get to invest yourself in someone's opinion of you or not. That's how that works, right? And that's why, again, to know that, like in Ephesians 1, I'll pretty much stop here, but to know that in Ephesians 1, that the Lord said that we've been made accepted, and that means favored, right? We've been made favored in the beloved, that God favors us, and God has always loved us, right, even before we were saved. But there's a different level of favor that God is able to, he's always had in his heart to want to give you, right? So that's to the entire world. But in action, God couldn't demonstrate that favor in your life, couldn't put that on the inside of you or manifest it through you. But now we've received the favor of God. We've received the reconciliation of God. And to know that we're always accepted by God and favored by God, regardless of what we do and because it's in Christ, that's something that, again, you can fully invest yourself in that. And so I would just always encourage you, when someone gives you a compliment, when someone says something nice to you, and you have that sense of identity that is increased on the inside of you, to say, oh, hey, you know, like people, like I heard someone just recently, someone paid someone a compliment, and they said, you know, you just made my day. You know what? That right there is something that I endeavor never to do. Because if someone's going to make my day with their opinion, they're going to destroy my day with their opinion as well. You don't get to choose that. You don't get to say, well, I only value their opinion when they're saying nice things about me, but I won't value their opinion when they say mean things about me. You simply can't do that. So that value that she put on that man's opinion, the thing I was listening to, if that man tore her down, she would be forced, right, to emotionally to value his opinion there as well. And that's when, you know, you can say thank you. In fact, actually, not from a compliment or self-worth perspective, but I think it's a good thing that, especially when it comes to things of the Lord, if you notice that somebody, you know, seeks the Lord, or if you receive from somebody, to give them, you can say a compliment on what they're doing, to say something good about what they're doing is certainly fine, because the motive there is to encourage what they're doing. If you see someone even that does something, if you're a manager or a boss or something, and someone does something at, you know, in their job that is good, in order to encourage that thing, it's important to reward that and to compliment that and to let someone know, hey, you know what, I think that's a really good thing that you're doing, because it encourages them to continue doing it, even with your kids, right? You can't just always correct your kids. You have to correct things that are wrong with your kids or with the people that you're over. You simultaneously have to make sure that you're complimenting and telling them the things that are good, because as much as you want to discourage the wrong thing, you want to encourage the right thing. So those things should be said, right? Compliments should be given. If you have something good to say about something good that someone is doing, or the way they seek the Lord, or, you know, someone inspired you in some kind of way, it's important to tell them that, but because, again, you want to encourage what they're doing. But it's not saying something to somebody or someone saying something to you and then you taking your self-worth or your identity from that, or investing yourself or taking your happiness from it even. The best thing to do, acceptance or rejection, is just to thank God the fact that he accepts you. I was literally just doing this like 2 days ago. Thank you so much for your acceptance, Lord, and I just don't trust in the acceptance of men. The Bible says in John, I think it's chapter 2, that Jesus knew what was in man, and therefore he didn't entrust himself to any of them. And because we know how temperamental people are in their opinion, and here's the biggest thing, their opinion is simply not accurate, but the Lord's opinion is accurate. It's not about taking the Lord's opinion just because he's nice and everyone else is mean. If their mean opinion was accurate, then you should take it. But people's opinion is so temperamental and so inaccurate, where the Lord's opinion of you is always accurate. He sees you in Christ. He sees what he did for you. He never condemns you, therefore, and he's always for you. And therefore, you know, it's because we know that God's opinion is always stable and always accurate and always based on the cross. That's why we invest ourselves fully into that acceptance. And when someone else accepts us in some kind of way or encourages us in some kind of way, we say thank you to them because we understand what they're doing, but we don't take our self-worth or invest our emotions there. We have somewhere better to invest our emotions, right? So anyway, all good stuff. And then guess what? You end up always feeling accepted then. And when someone rejects you, it ends up highlighting the acceptance of God, actually. Because it just makes you so thankful. Something happens, someone rejects you, say, you know what, Lord? Thank you so much that you accept me, though, because that's where I'm putting my trust and that's where I'm investing my emotions. And it just ends up highlighting it. And ends up, you could use it as a reminder. It ends up just reminding you of how accepted you are with the Lord and how you shouldn't trust people's acceptance, and highlights, you know, how much you should trust the Lord's acceptance. So, you know, it's a really, really cool thing. And your emotions just become very stable whenever you base it on someone who is very stable and a work of Christ, right, that is always stable.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.